life beauty. If somebody is taking as a is getting a body of a dog or even a worm or a demigod, he is there as a super soul friend in everyone's heart. So in one way, as I'm saying, if Krishna had a choice, if we had surrendered our free will to him, he would have all of us back in spiritual world with him in his spiritual home, and not even have a material world, so to say. But he's just facilitating the independent-minded desire that all living entities in this material world have. And he's reminding us through these words that that I am here, I'm with you, I'm inside you, and you know you can remember me in so many ways. So so coming back to this question, that having understood Krishna's mercy on us and Krishna's kindness on us and Krishna's friendship with us, our role or role of every living entity is to give back to him, give back to serve him back, use our nourished bodies and use our abilities that he has listed previously in just pleasing him. The goal of any service is to just please him, whether a small child is doing some service or a big adult is doing a lot of service, the intention is to please him back. And one analogy comes to my mind a while back when I was reading, I think, Canto 1 or Canto 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There was this example given that how do we worship Ganges? Like, there's a sacred river, those who don't know, in India, there's a sacred river called Ganges or Ganga. So, there is faint memories I have visiting, banks of Ganges where there are many devotees. They would just take a palm full of Ganges water and, put it back. So, that's the worship of Ganges, primarily just taking water from the Ganges and putting it back in the Ganges. Now, how a small palmful of Ganges water, first of all, we are taking it from Ganges itself, and that to a small palmful, and Ganges is just boundless, limitless, endless, just flowing, and there's no dimension to that sacred river, and just putting that back calls makes it a worship from our side, and is it accepted? The Ganges accept that worship? It's like we get purified just by doing that. So the purification, what is that gets purified, or what makes it a purificatory act, or what makes it a worship? It's our desire, it's our intention, or it's our feelings, or it's our attention that we are giving. So different words. It's our heart. It's our devotion. So same principle applied here. Krishna is limitless, boundless, and we are anyways very tiny. Even if we fly somewhere and look down from the plane down to Boston, and we see, oh, there's a huge water body here, and there are some, buildings here, and it looks so tiny, just very, very tiny. And in that building, there are so many of us, and so many walking outside. We can't even spot just few miles above the ground. We can't even spot a living entity moving. So, what to say of spotting us from spiritual world? There are miles and miles of layers and clouds which totally cover, and there are so many layers. It's very nicely described in Brahma Samhita what all layers are there. So what to say from that perspective? We are just like a dot somewhere. And in that we are doing this worship part, like, you know, taking from Krishna and giving back to Krishna. Taking our bodies, taking our abilities, taking food, like, you know, all the grains, just the whole process, that the way the grains grow or the vegetables grow or anything grows, that's coming from Krishna. And then cooking is happening here. We cannot even cook without fire. That's happening. So everywhere is just Krishna or Krishna's energy. And we have to just take a little bit and give it back to Krishna. So that's where the with these feelings that we may have in our heart of pleasing Krishna or desire or intention to serve the Lord, is this whole process of purification that's happening of our consciousness, which can actually take us back to Him, to the spiritual world. So now, also, there are many ways. Now, if we are talking about serving back to Krishna, there are different ways we can see, you know, we can serve Krishna. Like, if we see the process of aarti done at the altar, so we have lamp, which is, we are giving this element of fire in glorification of the Lord or in service of the Lord. Then we have flowers, the fragrance here it's mentioned, like Krishna is saying, I am the fragrance of in a flower. So that fragrance we are offering back to Krishna. Then there's air, the peacock fan or the chamar fan that we do is offering the air back to Krishna. Then there is cloth and water and so many other elements. So it's a very very, very wonderful process, or a scientific process in one way, to offer these elements back to the Lord, back to the source of the elements from where we got all of that. So that we will experience in another 10 minutes, you know, how these elements are offered back to the Lord. Then there is the primemost way of offering ourselves back to the Lord, and which our scriptures tell, and which our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he brought to the Western world, is the chanting of the holy name. So the chanting of the holy name is a prayer that we are praying to Krishna, please accept me in your service. So it's a prayer where, like, we are just pleading Krishna, begging Krishna that please give me employment in your company. Please take me in, you know. Please don't reject me. Like, if there's a very big company and we really want to get into it and experience the healthy lifestyle or the wonderful work that they are doing or job we are searching for, it just matches everything that, and it has a very high pay. And a very wonderful life and a beautiful beautiful work environment. So that's the prayer, Krishna, please accept me back into your service. And it's only, again, we are dependent on the Lord to be accepted back as well. From our side, we can have all our feelings and our intentions and motivations and desires in line with what scriptures are saying, like, you know, have a very loving heart towards Krishna. But finally, we are again dependent on the Lord to accept us back into His service. So this is these are some thoughts from this very verse. Now I'll shift my thoughts a little bit towards the founder Acharya, who actually brought all of this whole culture of the chanting and this knowledge to us. And so Srila Prabhupada, when he was 70 years old, that's when that's the time when he left the comforts of Vrindavan, a very sought place where the spiritualists or the devotees of Lord Krishna would never leave. It's said that somebody who dies there is sure to become a devotee of the Lord or take birth back into Vrindavan or sure to go back to Godhead, things like that. So many people, they at the last phase of their life, they move to Vrindavan, so they leave their body there, that's their perfection. So Srila Prabhupada, at that advanced age, he left Vrindavan, and soon in few months, we are going to celebrate his 50 years of his stepping into this Western world, and especially Boston was the first place. Commonwealth Pier was the first place where he put his footsteps and then moved to New York and to other places. So, and when he landed here, he said, he has written in his diary that I didn't know whether to turn left or whether to turn right. There were no Google Maps, there were no GPS, and he didn't even have anybody. There was just one person's address he had in Pennsylvania, and that's where he was going, the person who sponsored him to come to America. And he arrived in September, where the winter was just about to start. And he didn't have any warm clothes. We experienced how the winter is here. And he didn't come into by a flight or by anything. He came in a ship. That was not a normal ship. It was a cargo ship where the goods are loaded. There are few men, just few people into the ship to maybe load, unload the stuff, or a captain and a few other assistants. So it's not a comfortable journey anyways. And it took like 28 days to come here. And on the way, he suffered many two heart attacks. And all he had, and he didn't even know that whether he'll get a vegetarian food or not. It was America, and the non-veg place where it's been fed to children from birth onwards. So whether a vegetarian food is available or not. So all these things, these are the austerities that he took to give us this education of how we can perceive Krishna and how we can offer ourselves back to Krishna. By his association, there are so many of his, of people who came into his pure association. They started transforming, and in just few years, all these temples are this, results of sacrifices of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples and many others who just came and helped him. So this year is especially very important in the history of especially our ISKCON Boston and in history of this Hare Krishna movement in Western world especially. So I would request those who are not chanting or very new to this process to really take this very seriously and think about how we can give it back to Krishna, give it back to Srila Prabhupada. Through the disciplic succession, give it back to Krishna. So these are the few thoughts. If anybody has more comments and additions and questions, please feel free to share.
So in what context Krishna started describing all this?
This chapter is named as Knowledge of Absolute. And here in one of the verses it says, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, all together they are my separated material energies. And that's another beautiful verse. Let me just quickly summarize. Yeah, so basically Arjuna have asked him various questions and Krishna is giving him the knowledge of the Absolute, where he's saying that, now hear, son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. That's the beginning verse. Then the next verse he's saying that, he's saying that I'll describe to you this full knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous, like both material and spiritual knowledge. And then he's saying, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So basically he's describing describing his material energies and how the material energy, like all these elements, can be used in, to remember him and to fix his mind on him, fix our mind on him. Here he's saying, mind attached to me. So these are different ways, the world we are living in, how in that we can perceive Krishna and attach our mind to him. That's the context here. And actually later he even says that, I am the spring, since it's the springtime, beginning of the spring, he says, of all the seasons, I am the flower-bearing spring. Yeah. So we are right at that time to remember remember the Lord. Different ways of how we can perceive His presence.
I had a question. So like many people ask, like, why do we offer the incense? So you said that we are offering it back or serving Krishna by burning the incense stick. Or by offering the flower. So how are we like serving him back?
It's a fragrance, it's just an act of like he says here, I'm the original fragrance. So we are using that and basically offering back to him, offering the elements back to him. It's just an act for us to be conscientious of the elements we are using back in service of the Lord. And there are certain processes that are described by the acharyas, that, you know, we are doing the arti, we are taking darshan of the Lord, and whatever is pleasing to him, we are offering that, those things to him. Like first we offer prasadam and then we do the arti. So it's a, in one way you can say it's a ritual from a person who doesn't have a, you know, has a very beginning faith, but those who have an advanced faith, I mean, it's just, you know, kind of Lord is standing in front of them and they are offering these elements which are pleasing to him. Like, it's nice to be always in a place where there's nice fragrance. I mean, if you even look from a mundane perspective. So we are just offering the best of the fragrance to him. Like that.
Thank you.
You have anything to add?
No, the main point is that Krishna is a person.
Yeah.
And if I know that you like something, if you like pizza, I mean pizza, if you like, you know, burpee and a sandwich, I'll offer that to you because I know what you like. Mm. So for the pure devotees know what Prabhupada, what Krishna likes, so they offer things he likes to. And Prabhupada, you know, in relationship to the light, you know, the taste in water and the light of it. And Prabhupada would always say, it's not hard at all to think of God. Krishna says, I'm the taste of water. So you have to think, you have to drink water every day. He even said, not even water, but any liquid. Mm. He says, even if the drunkard drinks wine and thinks the taste of wine is Krishna, he'll make advancement by remembering Krishna. So his point is, it's not hard to think about God, to think about Krishna, because he's present everywhere.